is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you have a legal question, be more than glad to try to help you. All you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we're here to answer your legal questions, helping any way we can. All you have to do is to dial that number. And the question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, family law. It can be about any dispute you're in, maybe just a problem. It doesn't really have to even be a legal question. All you have to do is to dial the number, 877-toll-free, 877-943-9673, and phone lines are open. And I am more than glad to help you in any way I possibly can. And lots of times we get questions on estate planning. Maybe you made a New Year's resolution to get your estate plan done this year. Well, this would be a good time to do it. You make a list and you want to get something done. Maybe you put it off for a long time. And now's the time to do it. If you put it off too much longer, you probably won't get it done till the next time you think about it, or the next time you make a list. And a lot of people just don't like to deal with it. They don't like dealing with death or dealing with dying or dealing with parting with their estates. Sometimes people don't like dealing with attorneys to have to share information and get everything in proper order. But hey, if you don't do it, the state of Florida does it for you. And nobody would want the state of Florida to do it for you, because you worked hard, you accumulated assets. It should be up to you to get it done. Let's go to our first caller, Jim in Clearwater.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Best day ever. What can I do for you?
Yeah, listen, I this has to do with an annuity. I don't know if it's particular to Florida law, but my mother-in-law, my father-in-law recently passed. And they had an annuity. So my mother-in-law, recently my wife's siblings started getting letters saying that they were beneficiaries, and everything had been is dispersed equally among them that was in the annuity. And my mother-in-law called the company because she describes herself, I haven't read the document, but she describes herself as a co-owner of it. But the company said to her that because her name wasn't in the box where there was a listed as a beneficiary, that it's now a dispersed annuity. So
who did they disperse it to?
My wife and her siblings. So the children of my mother-in-law.
Okay, so what's the problem with that?
Well, my mother-in-law is still alive, and she was under the impression that the annuity would continue even though my father-in-law passed. They were joint owners of it.
Yeah, but her name wasn't in the box that showed she was an owner.
Her name is in there as an owner, but she's not listed as a beneficiary. And when she called the company, they said, no, your name has to be in the box as a beneficiary. So I don't know if she's getting it wrong, or if I'm, you know, but we recently heard about this last night. So
here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that if she were an owner, there would be no beneficiary until she died.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, like a joint bank account or something.
Exactly,
else, or
exactly.
A joint anything, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we should go back and take a run at the
company. Could be that the only beneficiary was the husband got payments as long as he was living as a beneficiary himself.
Okay.
right? Is that true? I'd probably have to. I think
maybe I just need some clarity on what was said, because what you said was my initial impression. If you own something, you own something. And if you're a joint owner, you own the whole thing, just like the other joint owner. So I'll try to.
Well, there could be exactly there could on. Possibly been two owners, you know, husband and wife. It could be the husband
right.
husband was the only beneficiary while he was living, and it could be they agreed to upon his death there be it would be distributed to the beneficiaries. I don't know. I'd have to see the policy probably.
Yeah.
And sometimes what we do is the person comes in, we call the company while the person is there to get an explanation. And, you know, sometimes we're able to do that. So,
All right. Well, thanks very much. Yeah,
I appreciate it. Sorry I can't help you more than that, but okay, thanks.
No, that's fine.
All right. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You also can watch us today on Facebook Live. We're streaming live on Facebook. And if you'd like to do that, please do. If you'd like to join the Ask an Attorney page or the Law Offices of Joseph Pippin page or maybe even my personal page, get connected with us on Facebook Live. Sometimes people like to watch and listen, which you can easily do. We're also streaming live on WeBeamTV.com. And if you'd like to... turn into there. They have a lot of our shows listed. If you have an iPhone, we have an iPhone app with a lot of shows listed there that you can listen to. And we have our own YouTube page. There are lots of ways you can listen to a show. If you heard something today that would help you and you want to listen to it again, or if you know this would help a friend of yours, you have multiple ways to listen. Phone lines are open right now. We have a toll-free number, which is 877- 943-9673, 877-943-9673. We're broadcasting today from Tampa in the Salem Communication Building here, where multiple stations carry the show here, 570, 910, 860, 930. Also listening in perhaps Sun City Center on 96.3 FM, the station in Central Florida, WLVF. You might be listening to 90.3 FM coming out of Haines City, Florida. Multiple ways you can listen to Ask an Attorney. We're also broadcasting live in Jacksonville, where we have an office. And the Jacksonville radio station, 600 AM on your dial, WBOB. And, of course, we have stations carrying the show in Pasco County as well, and we have stations down in Manatee, Lakewood Ranch, where we have an office. Lots of our radio stations carry the program Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, and that means we have lots of listeners all over the place, and all of you, no matter where you're listening, at home or in your car or maybe on your computer, anywhere in the world, you can listen to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. More than glad to help you in any way we possibly can. We have a call coming in, which is Tom in Winter Garden. Hey, Tom.
Yes, I have a moving violation ticket from Louisiana. I made a U-turn late at night. It was dark. Make long story short, I thought I'd be in danger if I didn't. But there was a policeman nearby, and I admitted to him I had done it, not a problem. But I couldn't return to the court date. I called the county where I had the ticket. I asked them if we could settle, and they said no, that I had to appear on the court date. I said, I can't. It's too far of a drive, and I have too many things to do. And I called twice. I could get no relief, so... Mm-hmm. I missed it, and now they turned it over to collection, and I guess there's a warrant. I don't know. They say collection called me once, and I explained to them they don't want to hear anything. So what are the consequences of this? I assume I can't drive to Louisiana anymore. The fine went from something like the original ticket was $100 and some dollars. to now it's over $500, because according to the collection agency.
All right, so I think you need an attorney in Louisiana to help you, and that's what you should have done, because the attorney could have appeared in court for you with your defense, you know, so that's all hindsight now. So I guess I'm saying that for anyone else who's in a similar circumstance, that they should have an attorney in that state who can maybe even deal with it without even going to court themselves, but at least they're dealing with it and the court knows you're represented. So in the future, if that ever happens, just hire an attorney in that state. I actually got a ticket one time in Virginia when I was driving, and I just called an attorney who handled it all for me. I never had to appear in a court, and they actually they dismissed the ticket, and they called it. It's a different laws in different states and different ways to handle things, even in different counties in different states. All right. So what you need now, though, what you need now is to talk to a Louisiana attorney on how this can be satisfied with the court to get you off the hook there, because you don't want that. If you ever went in that state again, you could easily be arrested unless the ticket's taken care of.
Is there a statute of limitations on their arresting me?
See, that would be controlled by the laws in Louisiana, and I'm not familiar with this, you know, the statutes of limitation. I think as long as it's on your record, you're in jeopardy.
I'm in jeopardy in Louisiana or in Florida?
No, in Louisiana.
Only in Louisiana.
Uh-huh. Just in Louisiana. If you don't deal with it, you're going to get a judgment against you. I mean, the collection company can get a judgment against you, then they can file that in Florida, then they can come after some assets. So I think I would jump. My advice to you is to jump on and get it off your record and get it settled.
How do I get the information of talk about the judgment against, if they get a judgment against you, how does that work?
Then they can get you in a deposition and make you give them a list of their assets, and they can come take something.
Can they do it in the state of Florida?
Yes, they can. They can sue you. The collection agency can sue you in Florida for money owed in a Florida court, and then can get a judgment. They probably wouldn't waste their time getting a judgment against you in Louisiana, because then they'd have to come to Florida and redo it to make it a Florida, to get the Florida court to get a judgment. So you just need to deal with it. It's just going to get worse. All right, Tom?
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to David in Orange Park.
Hey, Joe. I listen to your show all the time. It's great.
Thank you.
I have four grandchildren that received an inheritance from a Roth IRA, and what we want to do is,
were they minors?
Yes, they're three. They're between 6 and 6 months, and so what we're trying to do is set up a college fund, you know, with that money, without having to have any tax implications. Do you have any ideas on how best to do that?
Okay, so how long ago did the person die?
September 2nd of last
year.
Yeah.
And has anything been done with the Roth IRA?
No, it's a T. Rowe Price account, and I'm still working through it. We haven't done anything as far as dealing with that money yet, other than filling out the forms that they have us to do, but we haven't made a selection on what to do with it.
The good news is there's no tax. If it's the Roth IRA, there's no tax implication, so that's good. All right, okay. What's this approximate value of each account? Just give me a ballpark figure. I mean, it's a lot of money.
To me, it's a lot of money. It's about $50,000 per child. And there's four children.
Here's what I think. I think, and the person died in Florida?
Yes.
And the children are all in Florida? The grandchildren?
Yes. They're all of them are in Florida.
Here's what I think. I think that the court would, I think each one of those grandchildren are going to have a legally appointed guardian to be in charge of that money until the child becomes of age.
Yes, and so my daughter has two, my son has two, and what they're telling me at T. Rowe is that you set up a custodian, or what the probate court has said is a custodian, and that would be the parents.
Yeah, there's going to have to be it's going to have to be a proceeding set up in the court, for sure.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Now with the T. Rowe Price account, which this money's coming from, the person set up the beneficiaries to be the grandchildren. And mm-hmm. So I don't know how that plays into this. They were already designated as the beneficiaries. So is this a court action?
Yes, it is, because you can't get money directly to a minor. That was kind of a bad move on the person's part to make minor children, you know, three to 6 months old, a beneficiary of an account like that. Because it just forced a lot of extra work to be done for the court to get. Now the court has to be involved in that because you can't get money directly to a minor. And a guardian or a custodian is going to have to be set up and approved by the court. There's something that we can help you with. If you don't have an attorney that can help you with that, we'd be glad to try to help you with that, go through all the motions in getting that done.
Okay, so, Joe, give me your number one more time.
I'll give you the toll-free number since you're in Orange Park there. 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529.
Okay, Joe, very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to this was David in Orange Park. Phone lines are open right now. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 1-877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. See, when you have minor children, it's better to have assets come into a trust. And then the trust can manage it. The trustee of the trust can manage it without any court supervision. And the trust usually says the kids don't get it till they're 21 or later age. But the trustee has discretion inside the trust to pay for college and education and health and maintenance. There's a pretty broad clause in there of what can be done with the money by the trustee without any court supervision. So that is a perfect reason why people with minor children, you know, a lot of times clients come in, they're older, and they're leaving everything to adult children. And they do a trust to avoid probate. And a lot of times the younger people that have minor children don't really think, you know, about estate planning too much sometimes. But you can't leave money directly to a minor child, so you have to have it in a trust. If you do that with a will, if you create what's called a testamentary trust within a will, then there's going to be a probate proceeding. If you create a living trust, then you can appoint a successor trustee if you should die and you still have a minor child involved. Now, I know this was a grandchild, but I'm just talking in general here. If you have a minor child or you want to leave money to a minor child, the best way to do it is in a living trust, because then you won't have all this court proceeding. You won't have to appoint the guardian and custodian and all of those type of things for a minor child. Okay, let's go to Alan in Tampa.
Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for all the help you give all these folks.
My pleasure.
So here's my situation. Longtime girlfriend and I are going to be getting married, both second marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Both have, you know, only adult children.
Mm-hmm.
They're just wondering, anything specific we need to take care of? You know, we have to get joint car insurance and change beneficiaries, anything like that you might, you know of that, you know.
Well, okay, so this is a second marriage for both, and you both have assets, right?
Yes.
So what most, the advice generally is, now everybody's a little bit different, on what they would do, but most people I would recommend to get a premarital agreement.
Okay.
And if you have a premarital agreement, you can do whatever you want to with your assets. You can give a portion or all to your wife and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can carve out assets that you want to leave someone else that you've, and you could always change that as the marriage goes on. So you're married 5 years, you know, you might create a premarital agreement and it, you both waive your rights to each other's estate. In your documents, you could give her half and, you know, whoever else in the family you want to give money to. And then you have everything protected. 5 years from now, you're still strolling along happily married, and you can change it to leave everything to her. But people usually do premarital agreements in a second marriage to protect their assets and give them the freedom to do whatever they want to do and not be subject to any spousal rights that would come up in the estate. And if you should get divorced, which I hope you never would, but if you did, then you have a premarital agreement that already has an agreement as to what you've kept separate is yours and what she keeps separate is hers, and you waive any spousal right to it. As far as beneficiaries on things, you probably don't have each other named as beneficiaries now, so if you want to have some of those assets naming each other as a beneficiary, you definitely would have to do that, of course.
Right. And as far as, you know, other things, like, do we each have our own car insurance like we have now, or do we have to have one policy, things, beyond estate planning that you might have?
You can have one policy with both cars covered.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. All right. That's good advice. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Whose home are you going to live in? Are you going to buy a home together, or are you going to live in one of the other's home?
We're already living together in one home.
Okay. And who owns that home?
I do.
You do. Okay. So yeah. Another reason for a premarital agreement, you get married, she's got a spousal right to that home. You could, so if then you say you wanted to leave, you wanted that home sold, for example, upon your death, and you wanted someone else to get part of the proceeds. She has a spousal right to live there for life. And she also has a spousal right, if she doesn't want to live there, to sell it and take half the proceeds.
Okay.
So if you have a premarital agreement, all that's waived. You can do whatever you want to with the homestead and all your other assets.
And that spousal right over... So if I have that house right now in a living trust,
mm-hmm.
the spousal right overrides the
yes.
of the trust?
Yeah, the spousal right overrides. Okay. So that's why a premarital is so necessary in most cases, particularly on a second marriage. And at least you give a little bit of time to make sure the marriage is going to be okay. And then you can give her whatever you want, but I'd protect it in the early beginnings of the marriage. I would have it protected.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Good. Thanks,
all right.
Joe.
Thank you. Yep. All right. And Mark Twain said you never know a person until you have to share an inheritance with them. And I see it all the time where things change. When there's money on the table and different people think they're entitled to different things. And sometimes I hear from a client, well, you know, we would never do that. We want to honor what the person wants to do. If they want to leave to their children from the first marriage, we both have money and we're both fine, and we would never contest a will and take a spousal share. Well, what happens sometimes is person dies, and the person who said they would never contest their spouse's estate plan is incapacitated, and someone who has their power of attorney is calling the shots. And the person who has their power of attorney who's calling the shots would be a beneficiary. They would be entitled to whatever the person would get. And although the person says, I don't want it, I would never contest my spouse's will or trust, now they're incapacitated, someone else is calling the shots, and they are in line to also receive the money upon the death of the person who gave them the power of attorney. So sometimes it's not controlled by the person who says, I would never do that. And sometimes they do that, and sometimes whoever has their power of attorney does that. So the cautious way to proceed, of course, would be to have a premarital agreement. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, host of Ask an Attorney for over 35 years, longest-running radio show in Florida. I don't know of any other program that even comes close to being the continual format, same host, and has done it every week for 35 years. And I've done it on multiple stations a lot of times in 35 years. We also have an early morning show at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. So if you want more information about some of the radio shows we do, you have to contact me, though. And you have a toll-free number. You have a toll-free number for the radio show today, 877. Phone lines are open, by the way. 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And if you want to contact our office. Now, if you want to contact our office, I would be more than glad to mail you our estate planning poster sheet. It's a large double-sided sheet. On one side of the sheet, it has five articles. If you're watching on Facebook Live or WeBeam TV, they just flashed over there, flashing pictures of it right now on the screen. If you want to have it, I'd be more than glad to send it to you. So you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me for it, Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com, attypip.com, or you can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. And if you want to call the show, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Michael in Clearwater.
Yes, good morning, Counselor. I have a quick question. I'm assisting my mother, who's in her 90s, and she has macular degeneration. She does have a living trust. I am the would have a power of attorney if that came into effect, and also the primary trustee, the executor on her living trust. I did go to the bank and explain that she has macular degeneration, is unable to read, and they told me that I cannot sign because I'm not part of the trust. Are there any mechanisms in Florida that we could invoke to allow me to at least write the checks for her?
And, all right, well,
if
let
she
me...
can't sign, sign her?
Let me ask you this. Are you the successor trustee named in the trust?
Yes, I am.
And you're the first successor?
The first successor. There are two others that follow after me, but I'm the first one.
All right. So there are a couple of ways to do this. Number one, mother could come into a law office. In fact, if she came into my office, I could prepare an amendment for her to sign that she resigns as trustee and appoint you as to be the current trustee instead of herself.
Okay.
So the document would be read to her in front of a couple of witnesses and notaries, and then it would be executed, and that would be valid.
Okay.
If for any reason mother would not do that, and if you could get two doctor's opinions that she's not able to be the trustee, then the trust probably has a clause in it that says if you have two doctor statements that the person can't be the trustee, that allows the next trustee to move up.
Yeah, she's not at the point of the incapacity, but the first alternative sounds like a viable solution.
Yeah. So we just prepare an amendment to the trust that says she resigns, basically, as a trustee, and appoint you as the acting trustee for her benefit.
Very good. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right.
Much.
Thank you.
Your
All
help.
Right. Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Hey, can I help you? I get up on Saturday morning, come in the radio station, and I do a 52-minute straight-run show, no commercials, and my goal is just to help you. You won't hear any commercials. I might say something like I just said, but if you have your own attorney, hey, if you're happy with your attorney, please just stick with your attorney. There's no reason for you to change attorneys if everything is going well for you. If you don't have an attorney in one of my practice areas, you know I'd be glad to help you. But I'm here to help anybody who calls me. And I get thank yous from many, many other attorneys where clients have learned something on this show and they have their attorney implement. That's great. Whatever works to help as many people learn about what to do, what not to do, have someone to talk to about some legal entanglement therein. Hey, that's what the show's about, Ask an Attorney. That's why it's been on for such a long time, and it's just in my blood to do it. I'd rather be doing this than fishing or playing golf. I just come in and talk about legal issues and help as many people as I can. If I can help you today, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we're open for another 20 minutes or so, about two-thirds of the way through the show. 877 is the toll-free number, 943-9673. And it's a new year. Maybe you've been putting off dealing with a legal issue for a long time. And maybe you didn't want to pick up the phone and make an appointment with a law office, or you needed somebody to talk to. Your neighbors have given you conflicting information about some issue they probably don't really have a legal answer for, and you just kind of put it off not wanting to deal with it. Hey, put it out on the table. You might learn something that would help yourself, and you might be helping a lot of other people who are in a similar circumstance. 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open, and we're here to help again as many people as we possibly can. One of the things people fear about going to an attorney's office are fees. So practicing law is my third career, basically. And I didn't start practicing law until I was 35. And that was many years ago, by the way. But one of the things I thought I would do to make things a little bit different than where how most attorneys do, I wanted to have flat fees. So I wanted to have a flat fee schedule. We have a flat fee schedule on their website. So I wanted to take away the fear of people worried about what the attorney would charge and not really knowing. And the attorneys that charge, you know, by the hour and by the minute for phone calls and for all the kinds of extra services, I wanted to kind of just have a flat fee. I don't have fees for phone calls. I don't have fees for, somebody calls me with a legal question about their estate planning documents. There's a free discussion there. So when we have flat fees for all the documents we do, we post those on our website. So our website is attypip.com. Let's go to Laura in St. Petersburg.
Yes, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Good. I have a question. I was involved where, on the phone, stupidly, these people kept calling, got me involved in a business thing, and said, oh, yes, you're going to be earning money. Oh, and yes, you actually have some monies to help pay off your bills. Ended up all of them were shysters, and they were all put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been getting letters from different regarding so many of the different ones who were involved, telling me that, giving me their names, and that they're still in jail, and one person's supposed to be getting out this coming December. My question is, I'm still responsible to pay the bills on those credit cards. Is there some way to initiate having monies that they may be earning in their work program in the prison sent earlier so I can pay those bills?
Did you file charges against them? Do they have criminal charges filed against them?
There's criminal charge. They're in jail.
Because of what they did to you? I mean, have you made a personal issue over yourself?
That's right. Because of what they did to me, and there are many others who are hurt in the process.
Well, I think part of their time in jail could have been a restitution program set up to where they have to make payments.
The letter I received indicated that they would start to make payments when they're out of jail.
Okay.
If they're, generally in a prison setting,
Well, that could be part of their restitution program when they get out of jail. They'll be on parole for a while, and they'll be have to report to a parole officer, and they're going to have to report of payments and so forth. The other way to do that, perhaps, would be to file an action against them for money owed and get a judgment. And then that might might move you up on the priority of also of getting payments and give you the right to come in and take some of the assets they have.
Right, because one of the credit cards where there was so much money taken,
mm-hmm.
It was, yes, they settled and they cut the amount in half. And mm-hmm. the only reason I was paid all the payment was last year I got married, and it's. You know, being single, I did not have the money. And they would tell me, mm-hmm. oh, you're going to start to get money and all. And then all their phone numbers were disconnected.
Yeah. I think the best advice would be to go ahead and file a lawsuit and get a judgment against them. That would give you a valid way to collect money against them. And you might be able to find some asset they have where you could take the money and get a judgment and force an earlier payment.
Yeah, because it really would help to pay. I mean, yes, this I paid the way this credit card company settled, mm-hmm. and the only reason I was able to pay it was because of my husband's salary.
Right. Okay, Laura. Okay, that's my best advice for you there.
Okay,
thank you. Let's go to Mark in Sarasota. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
The question I have, I'm not really sure how to answer the question, but I'll start by, I'm middle-aged at this point, and I have three kids. I'm married, stay-at-home wife, and I don't have a living will or anything of that nature. What's the process of doing or getting something of that nature? And is it something I should get at this point in life?
All right, do you have minor children?
No, they're teenagers and one early 20.
Okay. So, yeah, everybody needs an estate plan. And basically, if you had a plan that left it to your children, you could govern what age they get it, the asset. So,
okay.
So if you create a living trust, you name a successor trustee, you put in there you want three equal shares to your three children. A lot of times people will choose they don't really get it till they're 21 or 25 or maybe sometimes even later. But prior to that age that you pick, the trustee can pay directly for maintenance, education, medical expenses, things like that. So, you know, I've heard many times kids don't have any financial brains so they're at least 25 for the most part. So you don't want to give them money outright they're going to blow or waste on their friends and then not have anything to show for what you worked so hard to accumulate all these years and that you wanted to leave it in the way to them to be helpful to them as opposed to letting them waste it too early. So a living trust does that. Also, if there are special things you're concerned about in the trust, they can deal with that. You know, like some families have addictions to deal with. Some people have spendthrifts, some people have evil in-laws, some people have special needs children. All of those things can be dealt with in an estate plan properly.
Okay. And I'm not quite sure what to how to approach it or get it started.
Well, mostly you would choose an attorney to go to, sit down, attorney will ask you questions, and perhaps make a draft document for you to review. That's the way that we would deal with it. So, for example, if you came to our office in Lakewood Ranch, we would kind of interview, ask you some questions, and then prepare some documents to mail to you for review. You would discuss with the attorney all the issues of things you'd like to do, and then would implement an estate plan for you and send you a draft copy.
So can I just call your office and make an appointment and go from there?
Yeah. Now, if you wanted to see our attorney in Lakewood Ranch, that would be Attorney Dennis Moses. If you wanted to see me, you would come up to Sun City Center, which is not too far, but either one would be fine. So you could call the toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200, young lady that answers the phone there runs the calendar and can make the connections with other attorneys if need be.
Excellent. Well, I thank you for your time, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have less than 10 minutes in the show now, but we have a toll-free number and open lines at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And phone lines are open. Hey, we're waiting for your call to see if I can help you on this. This is actually my first time back in the Salem station here. Been out a little bit after Christmas. Still did the show. I actually did the show 3 weeks in a row from Jacksonville, but now I'm back to my normal rotation schedule of every other week here in Tampa and every other week in Jacksonville area. But if I can help you, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Hey, one of the things I love to do is give estate planning talks. And that really doesn't have to be estate planning if you have another topic you'd like me to do. In the community. And there's no charge for that. If you have a monthly meeting, a coffee meeting, it could be in a church, it could be just about anywhere. Love to go out and give a talk. And then what we do is we usually have a topic that we talk about that you would say this, I want you to come to my group and discuss this topic. So we come in and do that, and then we have a little question and answer period, just like the show Ask an Attorney. There's no charge for this. We love doing that. I'm usually out somewhere every week speaking somewhere. And if you'd like to arrange that, all you have to do is to call the toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like the free estate planning poster sheet, you can call that same number. We're glad to mail that to you. We hand these out at the seminars that we do and the speaking engagements we do. 1-800-226-3529. You can email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. All right, let's go to Jim in Tampa.
Yeah, I just have a quick question. So if I have a couple kids that are adults, and if I have them as beneficiaries on my account, and I die, and you know, my wife and I die, is that kind of independent from a will where I don't have to worry about the will part of that? And you know, will, you got to go down to the court, and you got to go through this process, and. But if I have, you know, do you understand my question?
Yes. The okay. So a trust is better. The question is: does that avoid probate? Yes. Is that the best thing you can do? I think no. Because do you have a home?
Yes.
And you and your wife own that together?
Yes.
Okay. So if So if you have a home, then that's going to go through the probate process. So if you did a living trust, you could put your home in there to avoid the legal process of dealing with that through the courts. If you had money into your trust, it would also avoid probate, but also could be used for your benefit if you became incapacitated. See, just naming a beneficiary on a bank account, nothing happens until death. So you and your wife in a horrible accident, your trustee can come in and manage all your money for your benefit while you're living. And then everything you put in the trust upon death would avoid the court system and avoid the probate system.
Right. Okay, so the benefit of a trust is when you're in a horrible accident, you're still alive, and they need access to the money.
Or if you have a stroke, or if you become sick, or you become feeble in your later age and you can't manage your money as well as, you know, the person you've named as a successor trustee could do it for you. There are, I don't know, 16 or 17 major advantages to a trust, but generally the four that I like to mention and talk about most of the time, it avoids probate, it avoids guardianship, which most people don't think about. It's quick, easy, fast, and efficient to administer, and it's a totally a private document. So,
yeah, and a POA, that, you know, that kind of does something similar where they do have access to it, but maybe they have more.
But the POA is void of
total control.
Yeah, the POA is void upon death. And the trust has instructions on what to do with the money, and a POA really doesn't have any instructions, just has the power to deal with it, but then the POA is void upon death.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. All right, let's go to Frank in Jacksonville.
Yes, sir, I have a question. Great show and great service. Thank you. I have a question on a concealed weapons permit, carrying it in a premises. I would read somewhere you can't have it in the actual bar section, but if you go to a table in the same restaurant to eat food, that's okay.
That, to have a weapon. Yeah, you know, I haven't reviewed the concealed weapon rules of what you can and can't do. I'd be glad to look it up for you, though, or give you an attorney. Yeah, I think that's probably true. It can't go into a bar. But again, I'm going to have to review that because I get a lot of questions about concealed.
Yeah, someone wrote an article on it, and because I carry concealed, and no matter what, I want to be safe. I'm an ex-cop, so.
Was that a Florida? Laura about Florida law?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I read it a few months ago, and that was a quirk. I thought it was funny, odd, but that's why it stuck in my head. Of course, I do that a lot, go to restaurants and sit at a table, and then it's okay. But if you go to the actual bar, a portion, and have a sit at the bar, then it's illegal. Crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what the article said.
Well, you know, some places, like there's a theater in Tampa, well-known big theater. Yes. So if you've ever been there, at the end of the show, when you're leaving, people are like cattle in big herds trying to get out of the building.
Right.
And they have rules. They have the detectors and everything, and you kind of get scanned when you walk in the building where they don't allow guns to go into the building.
Right. Yeah, all of them do now. Yeah.
But, man, it would be horrible if somebody standing outside as people are leaving could be shooting at you, and then you don't have a gun to defend yourself.
It's so ridiculous. Let me tell you something I heard all my working life from people many times, and it was, I never thought this would happen to me.
Yeah.
Exactly. And to think that, especially if you take the training, you take the stuff, and I have a thing, it should be a national permit for ex-cops automatically. Just think of the coverage you could get and how you could sell that. They have something like that, but it's convoluted, and it would take me 20 minutes to explain.
Yeah.
But just that alone, you could free up. I know I've used my gun off-duty in my years three times, and there's numerous cops that could do that, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole thing is so preposterous that you can't protect yourself against, I never thought this would happen to me. Bad guys used to say, we're going shopping for VICs, meaning victims. That was their code up in New York City. And so true. They're looking all the time. That's their job, to get you. And it could strike at any time and protect yourself. I could care less about the laws. I just had this discussion with a lady the other day. But I'll carry anywhere, anytime. I'd rather be alive. Better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
There you go. Hey, if you'd like to send me an email, I'll look at the statute and I'll get back to you.
How do I do that?
It's Joe, Joe,
Of course, I don't have a pen. I'm going.
Well, it's really simple. It's just Joe, my first name, and then it's at @ATTY, abbreviation for attorney, PIP, first initials of my last name, first three letters of my last name, .com. Just Joe at addypip.com.
Joe at, I'm bad with confusion.
Yeah,
Joe at ATTYPIP.com. Oh, I see. Got that.
All right.
Joe, you're great.
All right, thank you. Pippin. All right, thanks so much for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every week. You have a safe week. We'll be back next week, and so long. Be safe.